Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 194 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we've got lots of news. We have a very special interview from Michael over at Eagle Moss. We're going to round it out with the nostalgia segment with a little bit of a different feel to it. I added some flair to it this week.
Yes, you went M. Night Shyamalan on it and hit it with a twist.
M. Night Shlongadong?
Slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong.
Oh. Scott, how are you doing over there? Are you feeling good tonight?
I am feeling excellent tonight, Jeff. I have Power Punch from Bang coursing through my veins. If you've seen the commercial or the Facebook video, that guy that drinks too many Bangs, that is me right now. I'm getting kicked out of playgrounds from working out because I'm too loud. I've already committed 3 felonies, but I'm here to podcast.
Nice, dude. Nice. I actually ran out of Smart Cups, so I had to get a Bang today. I got Sour Heads. I tried Sour Heads for the very first time.
Wait. You've, as long as you've been drinking Bangs, you've never tried Sour Heads?
No, it was my very first time.
A lot of people confuse it with Apple because it's a green, black and green can, so they think that it's an apple flavor, which I guess kind of, sort of it is. But what did you think about it?
It was good, dude. It's like a sour candy, and I'm not a big candy person.
Gotcha. Okay, it used to be one of my favorites, but I find that my go-tos now, and here we go again being an energy drink podcast, I find that my go-tos, and I was talking actually with Tim on Twitter at a chair shot about this, and my go-tos are starting to mirror his with Purple Haze, Blue Raz, and Power Punch. Those appear to be my go-tos. Definitely not the birthday cake. That one's good for like 4 sips, and then it's a little bit too much. But yeah, I'm starting to get like go-tos for Bang now, where when I go into the liquor store or the convenience store or whatever, 7-Eleven, like I've got certain ones that I'm going for, and those seem to be the ones now.
And they just came out with a new flavor called Miami Cola.
Yeah, thank you to Breaker for posting that. I didn't know anything about it, and then Shannon saw his post and told me about it, so I'm on the hunt for it.
Yeah, apparently Dan Squared, I believe it is, on Twitter, he posted a picture of it today, and he said, basically tastes like Diet Pepsi, which I absolutely love Diet Pepsi.
Oh, you might have a new favorite.
We'll see. But he said he just got it at the gym today, and so I'm hoping my gym gets it stocked up pretty soon.
Nice. Well, hey, you know, we're going to the toy show on Saturday, so if you can score 2 cans, could you bring one for me on the way to the toy show?
Absolutely. That's another thing. Yeah, we're going to a toy show this, well, when the show drops, it will be the previous day. But yeah, we're going to a toy show. I can't wait to see what we can score at the show.
Yeah, this one only happens 3 to 4 times a year. This will be the, third time this year? I believe we've gone to this one, Jeff. I think we went in January or February. We went again in March or April. Then we're going again this coming weekend. This is the show where you found, or we found, the MOC LJN White Shirt Hogan.
Correct.
That the guy wanted a cool $1,000 for. And not to spoil your toy spotting, but something tells me we won't be coming home with that this weekend, Jeff.
Yes, it is not needed anymore, even though it's still tempting because it's a carded and we are very MOC over here. We don't need it anymore. We're good. Our big omission from our collection has now been filled.
Yes, but let's not spoil anything. We're not doing toy spotting yet.
Oh, we're not?
Not yet. That has to wait. No spoilers.
Oh. Okay. Scott, did you do any toy spotting? What?
I see you want to... Yeah, let's hot shot this angle. Let's just get it done now. Yes, I did the normal toy spotting, Jeff. Walmart, Target. Of course, I came up empty. I'm going to make mine really quick. We heard from good brother Mike. I heard from him twice. You and I heard from him jointly once. He did score the Ghostbusters display from Walmart. All he did was take it up to the counter, ask the guy if he could have it. The guy was like, yeah, we're going to throw it away anyway. And good brother Mike scored a Ghostbusters display. To his text that he sent you and I went to our Walmart and ours was gone. The display, the figures, everything gone. So you can, if you're interested, go to your local Walmart, just ask them for the display. They'll be more than happy to give it to you, I'm sure. Target still only had Elite 68, nothing new to report. But huge thanks go out this week, Jeff, to good brother Mike, who has hooked up Peyton with a plush Bailey that I didn't find anywhere around here. And he found the Becky, the Sasha, and the Bailey. They had one Bailey left, and he picked her up for me, shipped her to me. So that's going to be Peyton's surprise on Sunday, in addition to tickets to Hell in the Cell, which she doesn't know a thing about. We're going to surprise her with tickets on Sunday to Hell in the Cell. It'll be a blast. And finally, big thanks also to Tim on Twitter, at a chair shot, who, out of the kindness of his own heart, Jeff, is sending me a mint on card Ricochet and a not so mint on card Ricochet, one of which Peyton is going to open. Obviously, the not so mint on card Ricochet will be hers. Mine, the MOC, is going to get hung up on the wall and hopefully signed one of these days. But big, big thanks to Tim, who, again, out of the kindness of his own heart, is sending me both of those Ricochets. He's been asking me, are you hunting for anything? I'm like, dude, honestly, it's Ricochet from 69 and Vince from 70. And he's been on the hunt for me, and he picked me up two Ricochets. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Big thanks both to good brother Mike and Tim.
Nice, man. You did have a successful toy spotting. Quick toy spotting, but a successful one.
Yeah, quick, very successful. But again, thank you to the Fig Life. Those guys come through left and right for me. So again, big thanks, good brother Mike, Tim on Twitter, at a chair shot, repping the hashtag Fig Life community. Thank you very much, guys.
Do I get the plugs out of the way, or do I go into my toy spotting? What do I do? I don't know what to do, Scott.
You know what? This is our show. This is our show. So we'll just hotshot this angle. We're just going to do toy spotting now. It's our format. We can change it up how we like. Jeff, did you do any toy spotting?
Ah, thank you for asking. Yes, I did do toy spotting. And actually, it's funny you mentioned Tim at a chair shot on Twitter. He travels around the Bay Area for his job, so he frequents a bunch of Walmarts and a bunch of Targets. So Friday, Tim sends a message, Jeff, check your Alameda Target, the numbers jumped, which is funny because I had checked it the night before and the numbers were still the same. It was like 3 or something like that on Pop Finder. So I was getting close to locking up and going home time at work. So I started thinking, I was like, okay, so Tim just checked it about an hour ago, because he said it. I had checked it about an hour ago. They hadn't put anything out, but the numbers have jumped. And I was like, okay, so Tim checked it about an hour ago. Do I go or don't I go after work? Or do I wait till tonight and just head on over there? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go over there. If it's not there, then I'll head back over there tonight, meaning Friday night. So I head on over to Target. I have to go across town and all that stuff. I head on over, walk around the aisle. Sure enough, Liv and Sonya are sitting right there.
Oh, beautiful. So you scored both of them in one shot.
Got both of them. Ricochet had been picked clean. Tommaso Ciampa was sitting there, so I picked up Ciampa. They had Ray, and they had AJ. A couple AJs, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No Miz?
No Miz. Miz was already gone.
Okay, gotcha. How is that Ciampa?
Ciampa's good, dude. The only thing I'm noticing, and actually I've seen a complaint of the... I've seen the same complaint for a while, is the hands, the extra hands... seem to be oversized, like they're too big.
Hmm, interesting.
Like the fingers are extra long and the hands are... I've seen that complaint a few times, and I actually noticed it on the Tommaso Ciampa. But other than that, it's good, dude. It's got the crutch. Good figure. I like it.
Okay.
So anyways, I owe my toy spotting to Tim for keeping me up to date on Pop Finder on Friday, because I got wrapped up with work. We had a coworker in from Atlanta and we took her out to dinner on Thursday night. And so while we were out, I checked Pop Finder. Sure enough, the numbers hadn't jumped over here. And so anyways, I got to work on Friday. We were going over some things, training and all that stuff with the coworker. And I get that message from Tim, and Tim's like, hey, check your Alameda Target. I was just over there, but the numbers still jumped. So anyways, I owe my toy spotting to Tim. The funny thing was, is the next morning I woke up and I checked the Pop Finder numbers, and Hayward Target and San Leandro over at Bayfair Mall, their numbers had jumped. So I hopped in the car and I was going to pay it back. I was going to see if I could help Tim out and find a Liv and a Sonya. Well, went over to Hayward. There was nothing. Even though their numbers had jumped, there was still nothing.
Which isn't the first time that's happened to you.
Correct. Went to San Leandro Target, And I even asked a helper and he scanned the tag and he goes, no, there's nothing here. And I'm like, man, the numbers aren't matching up. And he goes, I'm sorry. On my scanner, he shows me a scanner. He goes, there's nothing. I was like, yeah, all right. So anyways, the rest of the day, I had some things to do on Saturday. So I wasn't able to get back out and get back to the targets, either target, I should say. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to pay it back to Tim.
Oh, so Tim's still on the hunt, as far as I know, for Liv and Sonya. I'm on the hunt for him, too, if I spot him. Because as I mentioned last week, they're not super high on my list to get. I mean, yeah, it's cool, they're chases, but I'm kind of more in the mode if I'm a fan of the person, I'm going to buy their figure. And I'm not a huge fan of Sonya or Liv. So basically, if I find them, Tim is the first person I'm going to notify.
You're not a fan of Sonya or Liv?
I mean, the figures are cool. The figures are very cool, but I don't know. Not really.
Oh.
No offense to either, but yeah, just if I find the figures, I'm going to notify Tim.
I like them. I like both of them.
No, nothing against them at all. Just I'm not a huge fan.
You have a lot against them, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. I harbor great resentment.
Okay, that's not true.
At all.
I just slandered you. Sorry, dude.
I know.
Also, Scott, so we kind of teased it at the beginning. I got a message. I forget who I got the message from, but I got a message on Instagram from someone, and they had started showing me somebody's Instagram page, and they had loose LJNs. So I messaged the guy, and I said, hey, out of curiosity, you know, I see you have the white shirt Hogan. What are you asking for it? And he goes, well, I've got three of them. And he sent three over. And I was like, well, I'm looking for the near mint one. So this Hogan, it didn't have the poster, but it did have the belt. And it's near mint, meaning not that much paint was chipped off of it. It's, when I say near mint, it is near mint. And by the time the show goes up, you guys will see pictures for it. So he gives me a ballpark price. And check it out, Scott. I used Wrestling Toy Tracker to check the price.
Nice.
Yes, Ryan, I was using you, man. I was using you again. So I used Wrestling Toy Tracker to check the price on the figure, and it came within about, I think it was like $7.
Not bad.
So I was like, I'm going to pull the trigger on this one. It's the White Shirt Hogan LJN. As I've mentioned, this is a glaring hole in Scott's and Maya's collection because I told Scott I didn't want Hogan. I wanted Tito Santana and Strikeforce outfit, and Scott harbored a lot of resentment towards me for, what are we going on, 32 years, Scott?
Yeah, I can finally lose that grudge. It'll be nice, man. It's a huge weight off my shoulders. I don't have to hate you for that anymore.
The Kiss dolls are next, right?
Well, you know, I was going to get out my list of other things that I hate you for, but since you brought it up.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a while on those ones with that price tag.
Well, you know, FTC makes some really good Kiss figures, Jeff. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but I thought you wanted the ones from the 70s.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, beggars can't be choosers. So we'll just leave that right there.
So anyways, I messaged the seller and we came to an agreement on the price. And I want to thank on Instagram, and Scott, this is kind of funny. You won't recognize the IG name when I mention the name that came in on the tag from the seller. You'll catch it right away. So I want to thank on IG, Joe_Joe's. J-O-E-S _fig_shop for this sale. Thank you very much for that purchase. When the tag came in, I looked at the from, you know how it's in the upper left-hand corner on the tag, Scott, when it comes in, it'll have the person's name and address.
Right.
It said World Championship Raffling.
Oh, yeah.
Sound familiar?
Yes, very much so. That's great, man. I'm glad you were able to get a figure off of them.
Yes. Anybody was at WrestleCon this past year in New York and you saw a table with a bunch of LJNs on it, that was them. And it was funny because he mentioned it when we were talking back and forth. He mentioned that he had heard me mention them on the show and he sent me a picture from WrestleCon in his booth. And I was like, oh my God, that table looks so familiar. He had green card Hasbros. He had LJNs on there. He does have other LJNs for sale. The White Shirt Hogan was basically the one that I was after. He had Rick Rude. He had Warrior. He had a bunch of LJNs, a lot of mint ones. So if any of you are interested, please, on Instagram, Joe_Joe's, J-O-E-S, _fig_shop. I forgot to add this last part, underscore. So there's a total of 4 underscores in there. If anybody wants any loose LJNs or looking for loose LJNs, go hit him up, please, on IG. Thank you very much, Joe. Scott, the white shirt Hogan has arrived.
Yeah, I'm actually checking that off of my I Hate Jeff for this list. So that is now off. You just have like 108 more things to clear up. And then we're going to be on solid ground, dude, which I think we're making good progress.
What are you, the guy like Steve Buscemi from Billy Madison?
Exactly like that. Except when we're done podcasting, I'm not going to put lipstick on. I'm just crossing stuff off of a list. So you've made good on that. Just 108 more things and you and I are squared away.
What? 108, dude. I've only been alive for 40 years.
I know. You're a horrible child.
I was.
And partly a horrible adult too, but we won't tell anybody else about that.
Our poor mom when I took off my diaper and never mind. Anyways, what? That's actually a true story that will be for a Patreon that we will never have. So you guys will never hear it.
What? Yeah.
Scott, before we jump into the news, we do have an audio question. Boy, we are just like going off the rails on this show. Like, it's not our normal format.
Well, you know, we don't want to be predictable as we approach episode 200. We don't want people to be like, oh, here comes the intro. Oh, here comes the energy drink talk. Oh, here comes the news. Oh, and maybe they'll do a nostalgia. No, we're going to throw you some curveballs. We're going to keep you guys guessing.
And on top of that, we are very excited to have a special guest on here in the coming weeks. That will be a special episode. Very excited about this one, Scott.
Yep. No clues. No clues. It's just going to drop and you guys are going to be like, oh, dude, we love those fully posable cats. They're awesome.
Cats.
I'm hip to the game.
Like the Pussycat Dolls?
No, nothing like that. What are you talking about, Bill? No, nothing like that. No, cats, you know, like dudes, cool guys. We always say dude. I try to change it up and use cats. You call me on it?
Yeah, I'm going to say cats.
Cat. Oh, gosh. Moving on, dude. Okay.
So our first audio question comes in from Jason Linick. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, what's up, Jeff and Scott of Fully Posable? This is a longtime listener, sometimes figure collector, Jason Linick. You can follow me on Twitter at JLinick. But I was listening to your show this past week. I don't know when you'll play this message or not, if you're going to play it on the show or not. I just wanted to point out a couple errors I noticed in your show. You guys were talking about the FTC Rush figure. And his name is actually not Rush, it's pronounced Roosh. So think of like a kangaroo and then add SH, so Roosh. And then also in regards to the Legends Series 2 Ravishing Rick Rude, it's actually not a WCW Rick Rude, although he does have the short hair. If you'll remember at SummerSlam 1990 when he faced the Ultimate Warrior in the cage match, he did have the short hair and the attire from Legends 2 Rick Rude is that cage match attire. So again, I just wanted to point that out to you guys. You guys do a great show. You got me to drink my first Bang energy drink today. But again, keep up the good work, guys. Just wanted to help you out. Take care. Adios.
We were 30% correct on the Rick Rude, Scott.
That's my number and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. That's how I got through high school is 30%, dude. I'm taking it.
And a lot of forged signatures.
By the way, thank you for that.
You're very welcome. It took me years of practice. You were the beneficiary.
You know what it is, Rouge? So we don't get ROH TV out here. Sinclair Broadcasting, one of the biggest broadcasting networks, we don't get it out here. And so, to say the least, we're a little bit behind on Ring of Honor.
I'm a lot of bit behind. Self-admittedly, I'm a lot of bit behind on ROH.
We don't get it out here. If it was on TV out here, we'd be watching it. Just like when it was on, it wasn't Access TV at the time. It was the other, HDNet. I watched it every week when it was on, and I know I could watch streaming, but I've got so much other stuff to watch. Like, I watch wrestling. There's so much wrestling on now.
What are you talking about? There's not a lot of wrestling on TV now.
And then I also watch other things outside of that. So anyways, I mispronounced names. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was Rush. I heard it was Roosh, but, you know, not watching ROH TV all the time, I messed that one up. So I'll put that one on me. I was thinking about the band Rush.
What about El Hijo?
I was correct on that.
It is Hijo. Okay, cool.
Actually, I don't know.
It's definitely not Hijo.
By the way, he's going to be out here in San Jose, dude.
That's awesome. So, perfect. We'll take a little microphone up to him, and we'll have him clarify how exactly we pronounce his name. But I'm going to tell him that you said Hijo.
The cool thing is it's this Saturday night, and Ultimo Dragon's going to be there. And I wanted to go, but I'm not going to be able to make it because, well, I've got to work on the podcast, and you and I are headed to the toy show, and that's more important.
Yes. Oh, but you know what, though? Roosh, now that we know it's pronounced Roosh, thank you, Jason Linick, he just became the ROH Heavyweight Champion. I did see that. He beat Matt Taven for the title last week. So last congrats Friday. To him. Yeah, congrats to him. And FTC has a figure coming out of him, so that's great.
Yeah, I was also thinking of Rush Limbaugh. We were shuffling papers last week, you know, that type of deal.
It's Roosh Limbaugh, Jeff.
Oh, I love the improv on this show.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason, for sending that in and correcting us. Scott, last question of the week comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here, back with that weekly question. Wanted to ask you guys, which match types would you like to see WWE bring back? Two match types I have in mind are Battle Bowl and the World War III 60-man Battle Royal. I've been doing some research on the Battle Bowl as I plan on holding a pay-per-view around the match for my wrestling figure photography series, and I honestly like the concept. Two teams made up of people randomly paired up, face off against each other, then enter a Battle Royal to win a title shot or money. It sounds so simple yet brilliant. And with the variety of wrestlers WWE has on their roster, it needs to come back ASAP. As for the 60-man Battle Royal, while on one hand, I understand that it might not make sense since the match was WCW's answer to the Royal Rumble in a way. On the other hand, I imagine WWE would have heads turning in their direction if they brought this back even as a network special. And before you say it, yes, I know, three rings takes up a lot of space in the arena. But what if WWE were to hold it in a baseball or football stadium? What do you guys think?
JT, I completely agree with Battle Bowl. I absolutely loved the Battle Bowl concept. I think it was highly underrated. It seems that people forgot about it pretty quickly, but I loved it. I was watching those pay-per-views when they happened, and I loved the concept that you'd get two strangers or two randoms just thrown together, and they had to win a tag team match. If they were enemies or if they were friends, they had to win the match. Loved the concept. At the end of the night, you got a title match. Loved it. Great concept. I also loved the three-ring battle royal that they did. WWE did a 50-man Royal Rumble on one of their shows last year or earlier this year. It was okay. I actually like the idea of the three rings better. They would have to have a bigger area to do it in. So obviously you are talking like a baseball or a football stadium. But yeah, I would love to see those two matches come back. I've always been a fan of Texas Tornado tag team matches. I don't feel that there are enough of those today. I wish that style of match would come back. But that would pretty much be it for me. I've always missed the Texas Tornado matches, and I just don't see enough of them. That's why one of the reasons I loved ECW so much. It seemed like all of their tag matches were Texas Tornado style, and I wish WWE would incorporate more of those now. Seems to be that they're in love with 2 out of 3 fall matches, or at least they were for a long time. Would love to see them get into the swing of Texas Tornado tag team matches.
You know what's funny is I was thinking back to Battle Bowl. When was Battle Bowl? 1991?
Early 90s, yes.
So you were out that night. You didn't get to see the Battle Bowl, so I had to write down who got paired up. I can't remember the Battle Bowl. I want to say it was like Scott Steiner and Butch Reed got paired together, something like that. It was something random. And I remember I had to write down each pairing for you so you would come home and you would look it over.
Why was I not there? The one I remember most is the one at the end where Sting rope-a-doped Vader. Like he basically made Vader punch himself out and tire out and then Sting beat him. That's the one I remember most clearly.
That was at Battle Bowl, right?
It was, yeah. But so was I at work or something? Is that why I had you do that?
Yeah, I think you were at work.
Okay, gotcha. So I must have caught the replay on that one later.
Yeah, well, the thing was, is you got home. So what I had to do is I had to write down every match. I had to write down who won, who got paired up. And then I think you got home, I want to say 45 minutes or an hour before the pay-per-view was done.
Okay.
And you like looked over the list, watched the matches, looked over the list, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is how we got here. And I'm like, yeah.
That was very thorough.
Yeah, yes, because you told me you need to write down who gets paired up because it was so random. And I was like, okay, I've got nothing to do except watch Battle Bowl, so okay. You know,
you were taking my notes for me. Thank you.
So I remember writing it down, and then you looked it over, and you're like, okay, this is how we got here, and then you finished off the show.
It was such a cool concept. It was really intriguing to see their entire roster just kind of thrown together, and they just basically picked two names. Okay, you guys are a team. I loved the concept. I completely agree with JT. They shouldn't have done away with it. They should definitely bring that back, at least for one pay-per-view, because the roster is so bloated now, you'd have plenty of guys to team up and throw in there.
Now, didn't it always seem like two guys that were in a feud got paired up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how exactly random it was, because, yeah, you would always have, like, at least one or two teams where the guys hated each other's guts, but right. They had to get along to try to get further in and make it into the Battle Royal at the end. But yeah, I don't know how random it was, but they always made sure at least one or two of those teams happened.
I need to go back and watch that. That was a fun concept.
God bless the network, man. You can watch it whenever you want.
Scott, we do have a little bit of news that does not involve Roosh. Check that out.
Oh, nice little segue there. Way to bring it back.
Thank you. Thank you. And remember, 30%. We were good on that one, dude.
Yes. So let's Roosh into this next segment.
Scotty Lee 72 was showed off this past week. Rey Mysterio, he will be black and green tights with a Rey Mysterio t-shirt. Remember, all these do come with extra hands. There's one special one in there. Buddy Murphy, there was some controversy regarding this Buddy Murphy one. Did you see that, Scott?
I did not. What controversy about Buddy Murphy? Did he come with Alexis Pig or something?
No. No, he didn't come with Alexis Pig.
Oh.
So they show off the figure. Buddy Murphy actually commented on it, because if you look at the figure, Buddy has red hair with kind of a darkish beard.
That was the first thing that caught my eye, Jeff. When I saw that figure, I was like, the hair's got to go.
Well, he has the reddish hair.
Yeah, but it looks weird. I don't know if it's because the different color beard that's with it, but I'm not a big fan of that Buddy Murphy sculpt at all.
Yeah, anyway, so Buddy Murphy commented on it, and Buddy Murphy said, and I quote, I am a ginger. Don't know why I have a dark brown beard.
Oh, calling out Mattel.
He called out Mattel on this. Bill McKenna actually replied.
Oh, my.
He messaged Buddy Murphy back out in the open. It said, actual beard is dark reddish brown. Coming across more brown than not in this image. It will be a running change to a lighter color to be closer to hair color.
Sorry, I'm finishing up my popcorn and sipping my tea over here.
So it's going to be a running change. And what's funny is on these collector sites, they took down the image of the Buddy Murphy and just put up a stock photo of Buddy Murphy and says Elite 72 on it.
Interesting. Okay. Because, yeah, that was the first thing that caught my eye when I was looking at the pictures is the discrepancy between the hair and the beard color. But even on top of that, I'm not a huge fan of that figure. I almost feel, I mean, we'll see what the running change is, the final product. But so far, I'm not a huge fan of it. Love that they include the Cruiserweight title with them. That's perfect. But, and I love the tights that they put him in. It's like basically from the neck all the way down to his boots, it's a great looking figure. It's just, I'm not a big fan of that sculpt.
And he is coming with the Cruiserweight title. I did want to throw that in. Also, Velveteen Dream.
I will say it is pretty crazy that an NXT superstar has an Elite figure released so soon to his first Elite figure. Because he was just in, what was that, Elite 67? 66?
67.
67, thank you. And now has one coming out in Elite 72, and he's in NXT. So, great for Velveteen Dream. They must feel really, really good about him and have a lot of faith in his figure selling ability, if you will, to be able to sell another round of figures 5 series later. So good for Velveteen.
Next figure is Roderick Strong. He comes with camo trunks, black boots, black knee pads. He comes with a chair. He has the hands that does the Undisputed Era sign, the hand sign that they do.
Are they oversized hands?
No, these ones look a little bit better.
Okay, so it's not like huge foam figures?
No, nothing like that.
That would be hilarious. That's the extra set of hands is a big old UE foam finger thing.
And a Undisputed Era molded t-shirt. Next figure is Becky Lynch. Comes with the man t-shirt. Here she comes with the man t-shirt, I should say. Extra hands, I'm the man jacket, and an updated face. I think the face is better, but if you look, it still looks like she's sucking on a lemon.
A lemon head, perhaps?
It could be.
I actually really like that head sculpt. I might be the only one, but I looked at it, and then I looked at it 6 more times, and I've determined that I really, really like that head sculpt. I agree with you. It looks like maybe she has like a piece of hard candy that she's sucking on in her mouth. Like it's kind of a weird shape, but overall, I really, really like that head sculpt.
They improved it very much so. It looks a lot better.
Dude, take that Becky scan or sculpt and compare it to any other Becky that's been released. This one absolutely blows it out of the water. They finally have righted the ship on their Becky sculpts. Hopefully Sasha isn't too far behind, but well done Mattel on that Becky sculpt. Again, I might be the only one that loves it, but I love it.
I'm not going to say I love it. I wish they would kind of fix the mouth thing.
I'm okay with it though. Like she's kind of like pursing her lips, waiting for the other person to finish what they're saying. And she's almost like half scowling at them. It gives the face some character, I think. Again, it looks like she's sucking on a candy or something, but I like it. It gives the face some character.
But it is better. Like you say, compare it to the other Beckys that have come out in the past.
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah, it blows it out of the water.
100%.
Next figure and last figure in this series. Batista comes with red trunks, red boots, black knee pads, extra hands. Comes with sunglasses, a hat, and a microphone that basically says, give me what I want.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It's, you press a button. It says, give me what I want.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
Will you stop? Don't steer our listeners in the wrong direction. It does not, folks. Don't listen to Jeff. He's a habitual liar. Now there's 109 things on your list.
We've already been called out for other wrong things on this episode. We don't need another.
Yeah, exactly. I told you it was Roosh.
Scott, FTC news. Oh, by the way, what do you think of that Elite 72?
It's... I like the Roderick. I love that we're able to now complete the Undisputed Era set. If you had the 3-pack originally, now you have the Roderick to complete your Undisputed Era. Batista, for me, is definitely a pass. I love the Becky. As stated, I love the Becky, but another Rey Mysterio. It's nothing against Rey at all, but when you've been collecting figures as long as you and I have, Jeff, another Rey Mysterio figure is just yawn at this point. Again, nothing against Rey, and if you don't have a Rey figure, this would be a great one to pick up. It's another really, really good Rey. But again, you see Rey Mysterio in a lineup and you're like, okay, another Rey. The Buddy Murphy, I've made my stance clear on that one. From the neck down, it's great. I'm not a fan of the head sculpt at all. So overall, the set's just meh for me. Becky, really, for me, and probably Roderick, but Becky for sure is the must purchase for me out of this set.
Your opinion is basically the general consensus. Everybody looking at this set is like, oh man, a lot of these figures are an easy pass for me.
And that sucks because they have been so, so strong on their Elite offerings. Like the last 7 or 8 series of Elites have been fantastic. Elite 69 is just phenomenal. Great series. And you look at this one and the names are good, but the figures are, they're okay. Easily my two favorites are Roderick and Becky. And I'll have to see on the Velveteen. We need to wait for a final image on that one.
Scott, FTC news, what you got?
FTC showed a grayed out head sculpt of Mark Haskins, along with a rendering of what his outfit will be. So if you want to check that out, head over to their Facebook page, Figures Toy Company, or get them on Twitter at Figures Toy Co. and check out the Mark Haskins. I think that the head sculpt looks great. I love the outfit that they put him in. At first glance, you'll be like, oh, it's Aleister Black. But it is not Aleister Black. It is Mark Haskins. And as far as you can judge a figure off of a rendering and a head sculpt, so far so good. It looks really, really good.
Much agreed. Scott, Masked Republic, Legends of Lucha Libre, showed off the rendering for their Conan figure. This is what it said on their Instagram page. First ever officially licensed masked Conan figure in the history, and being part of the collector's line, he will actually come with 2 heads, each with a different mask, plus 2 pairs of hands, allowing you to pose him in some of his most memorable poses. Conan will be part of Collector's Wave 2 coming in late 2020. You can check out a full recap video of all the Boss Fight Studio X Legends of Lucha Libre announcements and reveals at facebook.com Legends of Lucha Libre. You saw the rendering, Scott. You tell me what you think.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I am so excited for this upcoming line of figures from them. As much as you can tell from a rendering, we've been burned in the past by renderings. Jeff, American Alpha will always come to mind. But I've got a lot of faith that these guys are going to pull it off and they're going to hit a home run with this one. Just from the rendering, I love the additional heads, the hands, everything about it screams vintage Conan. I absolutely love it, and I can't wait to see the finished product. I don't like that we have to wait until late 2020 to see it, but man, it's a great-looking figure out of the rendering. And again, tempering expectations, because we've learned in the past a rendering does not equal the finished product. But again, a lot of faith in these guys. They're just absolutely going to hit a home run with this figure.
Yeah, so far so good. The Phoenix look good. That's the only figure we've seen so far. We've seen the renderings of Penta. We've seen the renderings of Conan. Conan look good. Extra heads, extra hands, coming with weapons. Can't wait for it.
And pretty much in scale with the Elite figures, correct, Jeff?
That is correct.
They being Mattel, really has seemed to set the standard for wrestling figures moving forward. It really seems to be in that scale of Elites with the extra heads, the extra hands, the extra posability. They've really kind of set the bar for everybody else to follow in their footsteps. We just need to see if those guys that are following in their footsteps are actually going to leapfrog Mattel in terms of quality and appearance. So jury's out, but from what we've seen so far, they're definitely on the right track, and I'm super excited to see the finished products with these guys.
Like you said, it's almost like Mattel has kind of set the benchmark going forward. No other wrestling figure can be in any other scale except that. And I would like to see someone think outside the box and come up with something, but a lot of people would be upset because they would basically be like, nope, Mattel had the perfect scale. That's the way it's got to be for the future. That's the way wrestling figures must be. And I would like to see somebody else think outside the box and come up with something.
It'll be interesting to see what format the future AEW figures are available in. But I'll tell you what, dude, little kid Scott would love for all the figures to be in the same scale, because you think of the dream matches that you can have with the Master Republic luchadors versus like your Usos and your Seth Rollins and your Undisputed Eras, the dream matches that can happen from all these mixes. And then all of a sudden you've got NJPW from Super 7 coming into play here too. And FTCs aren't that off scale from what the Mattels are. So little kid Scott is going crazy thinking of all these cool dream matches that the kids who are actually playing with these figures, oh man, they're going to have a blast, an absolute blast, and they're going to need that new wicked cool ring to hold all of these awesome figures to have these dream matches in.
Scott, we did have Michael from Eagle Moss on. Michael has been gracious and been communicating with us regarding Eagle Moss desk displays or statues. So we did have him on, and we did sit down for an interview with him. And Michael, thank you for taking your time on this past Saturday, and let's get into your interview. Joining via Skype is Michael from Eagle Moss. Michael, how are you doing over in New York?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
Ah, man, I am doing great over here. And Michael, why don't you get your plugs out of the way?
Go to herocollector.com/WWE and follow Hero Collector at @HeroCollector_ on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys are doing amazing, amazing work over there with that WWE line, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's amazing stuff. I'm lucky to be working on it.
You've gotten one of those dream jobs Scott and I always talk about.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a wrestler, and I realized I was too short and unathletic.
At what age did you get into wrestling?
Oh, I've been a wrestling fan forever. I used to watch wrestling with my father and my brothers since I was a baby. I mean, my first memories are watching the Royal Rumble with my father.
Which Royal Rumble do you remember?
I don't remember. Do you remember The Undertaker walking on the ropes and jumping off? And that's about it. And I just remember my brothers going crazy.
That's what happens, man. You see this and you see these guys doing these, I don't want to say stunts, but these moves that you're just like, oh my God, this looks like so much fun. and you get hooked by it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, my whole life, it's just always been wrestling, going to live events and collecting the action figures.
Out of curiosity, do you remember your first show?
It may have been a live event at what was Continental Airlines at the time. Okay. Now it is, I guess, MetLife.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the card?
I don't. I do remember getting the brown Intercontinental belt.
Ooh, with the foam one?
The foam one. I got that, and my mom got me also the whole, like, Shawn Michaels outfit with, like, the sunglasses, the gloves, and the hat. And that year, for Halloween, I went as Shawn Michaels.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah, Scott and I always talk about our first house show, you know, one dad beating people to sit down because they kept standing up in front of us. And I remember Savage and JYD spitting at each other back and forth. So it's funny because you remember bits and pieces, but you don't remember everything. I remember reading on something later on in life that Ricky Steamboat was on this card, and I don't remember Ricky being on that card at all. The only things I remember is Miss Elizabeth not looking like Miss Elizabeth from TV.
Oh, okay.
And Nikolai Volkoff and Kirpal Kirshner being the curtain jerker. And that's the only thing I remember, but I don't remember anything else in between.
Oh, wow. I do remember going to SummerSlam 97 at the Continental Airlines, the Heart and Soul.
Yep.
SummerSlam, and they had like a like almost like a fan access. I guess it would be like one of their first fan access that they did.
Uh-huh.
And my brother Joey has a heart condition. I was 7 years old. He was 9, and he fainted from the heat.
Oh no!
And they rushed him to the backstage area to, you know, hook him up with oxygen and get him awake. And they called an ambulance for him. And he's hooked up with, like, all this oxygen tanks. And they had, like, a bunch of medics checking on him. But I'm backstage with all the superstars. Oh. So I see Steve Austin passes by me, British Bulldog, Owen Hart, Mick Foley. And I'm going crazy. So... And I'm there with my oldest brother, Chris, and we were just like, you know, fully marking out. And we always say that day Joey took one for the team.
No, out of curiosity, did any of the wrestlers stop by to check on him?
No, but I do remember Mick Foley saying hi to me.
Oh, nice.
No one cared about Joey that day.
So you want to be concerned for your brother, but at the same time, you're still marking out because all these wrestlers are passing you.
Yeah. And then they rushed him to the hospital. They did some tests, everything. And then we take a cab from the hospital back to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there in time for the Owen Hart and Steve Austin match.
Oh, you got there just in time, huh?
Yeah, so I basically missed most of the pay-per-view. Almost all of it, actually.
Right.
Austin was, like, the hottest thing at the time. So when he won, I went nuts. But then you look back at watching that match, and it's, like, possibly one of the worst finishes ever.
Yeah, there were reasons for that. But so you missed the Pillman and Goldust stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks. Oh, but it's your brother, you know, that's important.
Yeah. But at the same time... At the same time, we got a cool story out of it.
Exactly. You mentioned that you were collecting figures. What figures were you collecting? Like, do you remember your very first one? Do you remember very first time finding one on a peg?
My first one was... I used to take my oldest brother's figures all the time. His Hasbros, his LGNs. And I remember I broke his Razor Ramon, and he got really upset. And my father was like, all right, I'm going to just get him his own. And that day he came back with a hacksaw for me, a Hasbro hacksaw.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was my first one of my own, and I continued breaking Hasbros.
The Hasbros were your first figures, huh?
Yeah, but I did play with the LGNs and also the wrestling buddies. I still have them, actually. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Million Dollar Man.
And did you ever play with any of the WCW Galoobs?
No. No, we never had those growing up.
Oh, okay. So you were a WWF kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear a lot of people were like that. They were either a WCW kid, and usually in the geographical location, you always saw it kind of in the South. It was mainly WCW, but up in the North, it was WWF. Over on the West Coast, it was both. We didn't care, man. We wanted anything and everything over here.
Yeah. No, I mean, as we got older, we got into WCW, but it was, you know, WCW Nitro, you know, during the Monday Night Wars. That's when we got into WCW. But early on, we weren't into WCW at all. It was always WWF.
So did you ever see any shows at Madison Square Garden growing up in New York?
Yeah, actually. We went to the Survivor Series that Rocky Maivia debuted.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a very vague memory of that as well.
That wasn't a bad show. That was actually a really good show.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I think that was the show where they had these like gold-plated trading cards.
Uh-huh.
I think they were like only available at live event shows.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my mom buying my brothers and I both a pack because she didn't want us fighting. Yeah, I think that might have been the event. I'm not sure.
Now, I remember that show. A lot of people booed Sean and cheered when Sid won. Was it as loud as it was that on TV? Because it seemed like on TV, like a lot of people went nuts when Sid won.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 6 years old when that happened.
Oh, I'm dating myself, yeah. Man.
Yeah, my mom would somehow managed to get us tickets to these shows because she knew how much of a fan that we were. And she would always make sure that we all went as a family, even though I was probably way too young to actually understand what was really going on. But I loved it. I remember having fun.
Now, is your brother still fans?
Chris is very much a big fan. He's my oldest brother. And Joey, the one who fainted, I think that day that he fainted, he got out of wrestling.
He was done with it right then, huh?
Yeah.
Let's switch over to Eagle Moss. How long have you been with them?
I started in December, so almost a year now.
So when you came on, did you jump into the WWE contract right away, or how did that all come to be? How did you guys land that deal?
They already had it. It's actually a very funny situation. During my interview process, they said, what's a franchise that we should be focusing on? And I said, WWE. And they just started laughing at me. And I said, what, you're not a WWE fan? And they said, no, we actually have the license. And that's what's coming up. Are you a fan? And I was like, oh, I am definitely a fan.
You were their target audience right there, man.
Yeah.
So you got the job because of that, huh?
They say it's because of my other attributes, but I like to think it's because of my WWE knowledge.
So, okay, I've got to ask this. During the interview process, did they start asking you more about WWE?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you had them hooked right there, dude.
Yeah.
One thing I was curious about, how did you come up with the lineup for each series?
So, like I said, I started it in December. So someone had already came up with the lineup. It was our brand manager. And he's also a huge WWE fan as well. This was actually one of his like passion projects. So he came up with the lineup based on, you know, who does he think is one of the top guys or girls? Can we make content for the magazines for it? Who do people want to sit down and read about? Mm-hmm. So he was thinking as a fan as well. So that's how he kind of came up with the lineup. And I think he did a really great job with it as well. It's like a mixture between then, now, and forever, really.
Did a fantastic job on those, especially the magazine in the back. I thought that was such a great touch. And I know we're meant on card, but kind of pry and open that plastic that the magazine comes in and reading it, if you can, you know, and then put it right back in. I encourage everybody to do that. I'm a mint on card person. I hate taking stuff out of the package, but the magazine is one of those things I enjoy reading.
Yeah, it's great. It's almost like a flashback back to the 90s and getting that magazine from off the newsstand.
Yeah, out of curiosity, who's your favorite so far that's been done or is coming up that is done?
I will go with what has already been done, and it is The Rock. Just because I'm a huge Rock mark. I think I bought every Under Armour shirt that you come out with and sneakers. I if you ever see me in New York, you'll see that I have the Project Rock backpack and everything. So I love The Rock, and I keep The Rock statue and magazine on my desk at all times.
The Rock one is fantastic. I would have to say my favorite is the Finn Balor. I think the paint scheme on Finn is fantastic.
Yeah, Finn Balor looks really good. I really liked how he came out as well. We do a really good job with the tattoos.
Oh, came out fantastic on that one. And now, don't get me wrong, I love the Brett. I love the Savage. The Sasha Banks is, I thought the face on it was fantastic, unlike other people. But anyways, but the Finn just, it really captures you. And I call them desk displays because when people are walking by, they're going to look at it and they're going to be like, oh, whoa, you know, it catches their eye and makes a conversation starter. Unfortunately, it'll draw the employees, your fellow employees that you don't want to talk to, but but at the same time, it's like, it does create a conversation. Like, somebody will be stopping by and be like, oh my God, what is that? And that Finn Balor captures a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, he came out really good. The makeup job and everything on it. That's all credit to our design team.
The design team did an excellent, excellent job on that one, man. I got to say. The Bret Hart one is also awesome. I love the way they posed him.
Yeah.
With his fist kind of cocked like this, and he's got the jacket. I love it. Anyways. Sorry, mark out moment, dude.
No, mark out as much as possible. We're all fans.
Exactly. One other thing I wanted to get into is you recently just met Adam Bomb.
Yes, I met him at Wrestling Universe in Queens.
And would you like to go into what you got signed?
Yeah, I got a green card Adam Bomb mint on card signed. It was a really cool story because, you know, everyone's online and the guy in front of me goes, what are you getting signed? And I go, my Hasbro. He goes, oh, you're going to get him like to sign the Hasbro? Like, wouldn't that come out messed up? And I'm like, nah. And I, you know, I open up my Project Rock backpack, pull out my Adam Bomb, and he looks at it and he goes, holy crap, I thought you had a loose one. And I didn't know that you had one mint on card. He goes, that is in excellent shape too. And I'm like, yeah. And then like other people in the line saw it, and one guy tried to buy it off me, and I said no, I kind of want it. I want to get it signed to add to my collection. And you know, everyone was just like gawking at it. And I go inside the store. The store owner, Jack, says, okay, you're next. And he looks at my hand and he sees it. And he sees that I'm taking it out of a protector.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, you want to sell that? I'm like, no, Jack, I'm good. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And then I actually get the figure signed. Adam Bomb was really cool. He was like, wow, I haven't seen one of these in this shape in a long time. He signs it in a blue paint marker.
Uh-huh.
And then I go to pose for a photo, and I say, let me actually pose with the figure in my hand. So I grab the figure, and I put my hand on the card where he had just signed.
Oh, no.
And the paint came off
card
and onto my hand, and so it got smudged a little, like not smudged, but like the fingerprint marking. And I just looked at it, and he looked at it, and he goes, you did it, not me. I go, yeah, I know, it was a stupid move on my behalf. And he goes, I'll fix it for you. And I'm like, do you mind? He's like, no, I'll fix it, but I just want it to be on the record, you did this, not me. So he fixed it up, and it came out looking great.
So when he fixed it up, did he just kind of like, did he re-sign the whole thing or did he just kind of fix up the autograph?
He just traced over it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you can't even tell that happened. So, you know, I stop, I thank him, you know, and then I go to the side and I start blowing on it, letting it dry off. And Jack comes back to me and he looks at me and he goes, I'll buy that off you again. It was just like, I'm like, no, I'm good. He goes, okay, just make sure it's dried off before you put in the protector. I was like laughing. I was like, yeah, I know.
This ain't my first Radio Jack. Yeah. You were also at WrestleCon this past year.
Yeah, I was.
Do you have any signing stories from WrestleCon?
I actually have a funny one with Marty Jannetty. I went to get Marty Jannetty to sign my Hasbro again. Uh-huh. I have the blue pants, Marty.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the paint pen to sign it with, and he signs it, but the paint pen like died midway.
Oh no!
So he just kind of looked at it and goes, "This didn't come out good." And he takes another paint pen, and he signs it a second time, and that one also didn't come out looking great either.
Uh-huh.
But I have a Marty Jannetty now signed twice and. Two different paint colors.
Oh no.
You can't even tell the signature.
That's actually funny because the same thing happened to me, WrestleCon in Dallas.
Oh, really?
I went to go get the two-pack signed of Marty and Sean, the Mattel Elite Legends, or the Mattel Legends from Matty Collector.
Mm-hmm.
Sean had already signed it, so I went to get Marty's at WrestleCon in Dallas. Halfway through his signature, the silver paint pen just died on me. And I didn't have a backup at that time. And he's like, here you go. It doesn't look the best. And I'm like, thanks, man. But Marty was he was a party that weekend. So I think might have been we'll leave it there. Anyways, yeah. He was a party that weekend. Let's just leave it at that. But anyways, yeah, he kind of handed it back to me. I'm like, oh, man, I don't have any backups. He can just redo it because I didn't have any more silver. So anyways, the autograph isn't one of my favorites, unfortunately. I was thinking about taking it back to New York this past WrestleCon to have him fix it, but I just decided not to. I was already taking enough figures.
Yeah, it gets tough when you go to those out-of-town conventions, even in-town conventions, just traveling with all of your merchandise to get signed.
Oh, I know.
It gets heavy.
It does, man. It really, really does. My New York trip was laced with heaviness of figures, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, was there any other signing stories from WrestleCon?
Actually, I have another tragic story at WrestleCon. I got my Shawn Michaels retro signed, and the paint pen died on that as well.
Oh, no.
So I paid a lot of money for the Shawn Michaels, and you can barely see the signature because it was done on a white paint Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
And you have to like really look at it to see the signature.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know what happened too, because I used the same pen on an Iron Sheik retro.
Uh-huh.
And the Iron Sheik one looks amazing. And the Shawn Michaels one, it's like non-existing.
Oh, it's not one of your favorite autographs, huh?
No. I got a tragic story on the Rockers.
Oh, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you very much for your time today to be on the show. Eagle Moss is doing some great stuff. Scott and I love these.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate the support, guys.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Scott and I are in love with these things. We really do appreciate them. Why don't you get your plugs out of the way one more time?
Yeah. HeroCollector.com/WWE, and you can follow everyone on social media, HeroCollector_. That's Twitter and Instagram.
Well, you guys are doing great stuff, as I just said. Michael, I want to thank you for being on, man.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, bye.
Michael, thank you again for being on. Thank you for sharing the Adam Bomb story. Everyone, please head over to Eagle Moss. Check out @HeroCollector_ on Twitter. I wanted to thank Michael for taking the time. It was fun talking to him. It was like talking to you, Scott. It was like talking to a brother or a family member about wrestling or just whatever it may be. We were actually also talking about pizza in New York, which is one of your hot topics.
Oh, I love pizza in New York.
I know you do.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And we were talking about El Presidente.
Oh, I trust that guy, man.
He gave Lombardi's a 6.4. I don't know about that.
Okay, so that's pretty much the one review that I highly disagree with him on. We're actually going to be in San Diego for New Year's this year. And he did a review or two in San Diego. They're older, but I'm going to make it a point to go hit those spots and see how on it he was.
There was, if I'm not mistaken, there was one place that got a low 8 that he recommended.
Correct. And it was almost like a dive pizza place. It was like one of those spots that people go to after the bars close and they're hammered.
Correct.
So like any pizza is like a 10, but he was not hammered and he gave it, yes, you're right, like a low 8. So I definitely need to go check some of that out in San Diego while I'm there and see how on it his scores are. Again, his reviews were old, but they should still be very relevant. So I'm going to hold him to the fire a little bit and see.
But again, Michael, thank you for coming on, man. Thank you for sharing the stories that you did. We appreciate everything you've done. And thank you again, man.
Thank you, Michael.
Scott, it is time for nostalgia segment, Mattel Legends Series 4. And I added a little twist to it.
You hit it with the twist.
A twist.
What is that twist? I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott, Mattel Legends Series 4, but with a twist.
A twist.
What I did is I went into eBay and I found all the eBay listings right now. And I kind of did a rough kind of general estimate of what people had these figures up for. So what I thought we would do is, because you mentioned the Michael Moore collectibles column where he said that it's expensive to go back. So what I thought I would do is kind of go into eBay if I had some time, which I did, to kind of put the rough ballpark estimates of all the figures that are listed on eBay, what they're starting and the highest one. So, and I did not include shipping. I know some people are very strict about what the shipping is. I did not include shipping except for one because I found it hilarious. So Scott, will you announce Series 4?
I will. And I think it's kind of cool that you almost went, everybody has a price on this one.
Correct.
But we didn't do sold listings. You have these as to what they're going for on eBay right now. So without further ado, we'll get into Mattel Legends Series 4. First up, Ultimate Warrior. And he was in white trunks and he came with the IC title. An average price on Warrior right now on eBay is between $36 and $40, which if you ask me, is the best Ultimate Warrior figure out of the Legends line. And to this day, one of my favorite Warrior figures. I feel it's highly underrated. I love the face scan on it. It comes with the Intercontinental title. It is a very, very solid Ultimate Warrior for the price. Next up, George the Animal Steel. And he is packaged with Mine, his little stuffed animal, and a red and black sweater, which think George the Animal Steel from 1986, facing the Macho Man. Prices on eBay are right now between 20, it's huge, huge discrepancy here. $25 and $89.
I should have probably counted how many were in or how many listings there were. I should have probably added that to this. This is the first time I've ever done it, so I'll do it for next show. But it was a big discrepancy. Like the highest eBay listing was $89. There were a couple at like, I want to say at $64. And then the lowest one was $25, and I want to say that had $12 shipping on it.
You know, I wonder if that George the Animal Steel in the Hall of Fame series hurt the value of the Legends, because that's come up before, where people are against Mattel re-releasing figures later on because of the value of the original piece maybe getting hurt because of the re-release. Kind of wondering if that second figure, or the George Steel in the Hall of Fame set, hurt the value of this Legends figure that came out a lot of years previous to it.
Possibly. Now, do you want to talk about the one eBay listing that I did add the shipping into?
Yes, I do want to get into that one.
So the funny part is this is the one that I mentioned that the shipping is added. There was one eBay listing that was for $24.99 with $65.30 shipping. But don't worry, guys, you get free returns.
$65.30 shipping.
I had to include that one because most of the shipping was $10 to $12 on all these. But this one I had to add because I was laughing hysterically.
I mean, the base price is good. I like the $25. But wow, let's hear it for making up your losses in shipping. Holy crap. $65 to ship a figure. Did it come with like four more George the Animal Steels too?
No, it was just one, dude.
Unbelievable.
Yes, but you got free returns.
Wow, that is definitely something you need to watch for. I mean, hey, the free returns is great, but wow. $65.30. Talk about packing peanuts. Wow. They must have stuffed that thing. Next up, we have Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, and he was wearing a blue robe, and prices on eBay right now range between $40 and $85. Next, Hillbilly Jim, and this is a Hillbilly Jim figure, Jeff, that we talked about a few weeks ago on a Who Did It Better segment. Hillbilly Jim has his traditional overalls on, and he's packaged with a chain with a horseshoe on the end of it. There's two listings right now on eBay, and they range between $60 and $65, so pretty close. And last, but certainly not least, Demolition. Axe and Smash, they're packaged with their vests and their masks. Right now, Axe goes between $114 and $129. And there is currently only one listing for Smash, and he's at $113. And Jeff, that rounds out WWE Mattel Legends Series 4.
Okay, so before we go any further into these, I did find the eBay listing while you were reading that off. So sure enough, it says 2010 Mattel WWE Legends Series 4, which I don't think it was
2010.
No, because I got the Vader and had it ready for 2012. No, that wasn't right. So, no, this is already incorrect. Legend Series 4, George the Animal Steel, 6-inch action figure, new, $24.99 plus $65.30 shipping.
Where's it coming from?
That's a great question. Where is this coming from? Shipped from the United States.
Unbelievable.
In the item description, it says 2010 WWE Legends George the Animal Steel 6-inch action figure. Figure is new and unopened and in great shape. Has some crease marks on the front and back of package. Please see photos of item for sale in the this auction for condition references. You had the right price for $24.99, but that $65 shipping?
Holy crap. Does it come in like a 24-karat gold box?
Better, dude. Like a special casing or something?
Yeah, it's packaged in diamonds. That's the protective material.
I don't mean to take these guys to task or anything, but man, $65 on shipping?
You know what? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they meant $15 shipping and they typoed a one for a six.
Okay.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt because there's no way somebody's going to buy that. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, $90 right off the top is too much for that figure.
Correct.
I mean, I'm sure it's a typo. Nobody in their right mind is going to charge $65 for shipping and expect somebody to buy it. Has to be a typo.
But you think somebody would catch it and then message them?
Or maybe they just keep relisting it as it times out. They just relist it again and they haven't caught the error yet.
Possibly. All right.
I don't want to drag these guys over the coals again. We don't know them. I'm sure. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt it was a typo. But okay. It is funny. $65 for shipping is hilarious.
Dude, I had to do a double take on that one, dude. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, like I said, unless the box that it comes in is 24 karat gold and instead of packing peanuts and bubble wrap, they use diamonds.
So Scott, let's go back to Mattel Legends Series 4. Such a strong series. It's tough to choose which one is your favorite.
I'm going to say out of the three previous series that we've discussed, every one of them seemed to have a figure that was meh, not great. This one, from top to bottom, there is no weak figure. Every figure in this set is money. Like nines and tens across the board in this set. Absolutely perfect. Every single one of them, I have zero to complain about. This is actually the hardest one to pick a favorite out of.
It really is. Let's say Paul Orndorff was in last week's series, Nostalgia Series 3. Or let's just say Series 2, or whatever it may be. Paul Orndorff would be one of my favorite figures, but if I have to choose out of these ones, I can't choose, man. I mean, Axe and Smash are terrific. Ultimate Warrior, fantastic. Even though I don't really care for the face on it that much.
Is it because it has no character?
Basically, I guess.
Yeah, I get that.
But they've done so many Ultimate Warriors with an expression that I guess like a dumbed down face or a kind of a stoic face would be a good way to go.
That's, I think, why I like this figure so much, Jeff.
I like it because it also is the night he won the title.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And the way he's holding the title in the package.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it's the black strap IC belt.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited when I found it on the pegs. I still remember that day finding it at Tracy Walmart, because again, I was stopping off at Walmart after work. Before I would begin my trek home, I would always stop off at Walmart. Or if I had a softball game, I would stop off at Walmart, you know, see what figures they had out on the pegs. Sure enough, this one was there.
You actually picked this one up for me too.
I did.
Yep.
Demolition Axe and Smash was there also. I remember walking out with like two armfuls of figures.
You're like, thank goodness I have a job.
Hey, I know, right? Mr. Wonderful and Hillbilly Jim were also on the pegs. And I was like, oh, I'll get those guys next time. But for some reason, these ones didn't stick around on the pegs that long.
Yeah, this is as the series wasn't necessarily winding down, but you were closer to the end than you were the beginning. Stock shortened up big time on these.
I did pick up George the Animal Steel. Also, I picked that one up because, and the only thing that sold me was mine. If he didn't come with mine, I would have never got that one.
I agree with you. That absolutely makes this George Steel figure. The figure is great just by itself. I love the addition of the sweater, but the addition of mine 100% makes this just an awesome figure.
Top to bottom, this set is just perfect.
So far, out of the four we've discussed, this is probably the best one. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah, yeah. There is no weak spot in this series. These are all, like I said, nines and tens across the board. I have zero complaints about this. I can't nitpick at it. I really can't. I love this set so much.
Mr. Wonderful coming in that blue robe, dude, is perfect.
That one is actually my favorite figure out of this set.
Even over Axe and Smash, huh?
Yeah, yeah. If I gun to my head, I have to pick one favorite out of this one. It's Mr. Wonderful. I love that he's packaged in the robe and that it's blue. That was a great choice on the figure. I love the Ultimate Warrior, as I've said many times. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, it's the expressionless face almost. But so many warriors had expression before it. It was kind of cool to see this one. It was very different and it made it stand out. And then the addition of him holding the title above his head in the package is just fantastic. But overall, looking figure to figure, I think Mr. Wonderful takes it, if only by a hair, because like I said, every figure in this set are nines and tens, but I think the Mr. Wonderful takes it.
Little side note, I would like to say, I know it's only two figures, but Mattel hasn't done a bad Paul Orndorff figure.
No, they haven't.
That basic that came out a couple years ago, that was really good.
It's great. And they didn't try to reinvent the wheel with that thing. They used the perfect body on it.
Yep.
I think it's pretty much the same head as what was on the Legends. And that one was already phenomenal as it was. So yeah, they didn't try to change the wheel and like re-sculpt it and screw it up. But yeah, Mattel, absolutely, Jeff, has not done a bad Mr. Wonderful.
When I was looking over the eBay listings and I saw Axe and Smash and Axe was going between 114 and 129, I was like, I can see that. I can see why that's so high. And then Smash being at 113, I was like, okay, I get that one too. Like, it was almost like the figures justified the price.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, given the scarcity of these now, absolutely that price is justified. But you know what's funny, Jeff, is when we were at that Newark WrestleFest, where you purchased the Jimmy Snuka and went up and got it signed, The gentleman that you bought that off of had Axe and Smash and was asking $25 each.
Whoops.
And I was like, I think I'm going to pass and then hope that I find him on the pegs. Spoiler alert, that never happened. And to this day, I still don't have Axe and Smash. I would even take them loose at this point. The Jacks were really good, but the Mattels are just better. They look great. These Axe and Smash figures are just incredible.
By the way, we should have also mentioned, or did you mention, that all the eBay listings are for Mint on Card figures. Did we mention that?
We did not, but I think knowing us, as our listeners do after 194 episodes, that was the safe assumption.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I should have probably prefaced that all the eBay listings were for near mint cards, except the George Steel that had a couple creases in it, but they were for mint on card figures. So just wanted to throw that in. I didn't know if we did or not. But anyways, going back to this series, it's amazing. Top to bottom, great job. Axe, Smash look great. Got those signed, by the way. Ultimate Warrior looks fantastic. I'm glad they went with the dumbed down face. It just worked.
Dumbed down. Expressionless.
Expressionless. Thank you. That's a better word.
Yeah, a much better word.
I like your terminology better.
Your terminology was dumbed down.
Well played. The drawing on the on the cards makes the figures pop even more.
It really does. And it, for me, we're already mint on card guys, but that was just an extra reason to not open these. Like, you're going to open it and you're going to lose that artwork that looks so incredible behind the actual figure. It was almost a shame to open these.
Speaking of, Mattel just updated their cards. They do that every 2 years. They do a new design on their cards. It looks like for the next few years, we're having red and white packaging.
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Well, as a collector who puts his mint on card wrestling figures up on the wall, it's a little bit of a challenge. And again, this could be an OCD thing, but it's a little bit of a challenge to get them to line up because you constantly have different card shapes that you're trying to like mesh into your existing wall. And it almost forces you to do a reset every couple years because things just don't line up. Aside from that nitpick, I don't mind the packaging. The packaging is fine. As long as we still get that clear plastic front to get a signature on, I'm okay with it.
I guess that's a good way of looking. I was looking at it. It was red and white, and it's the new red and white packaging that they're going with. And I don't know, dude. I'm just not a fan of it. I guess I was expecting so much more because I remember Bill and Steve, or Bill or Steve, I don't remember who, saying that the next year's packaging was going to be awesome and it was going to blow people away. And I guess maybe I was expecting so much more.
But dude, how cool would it be if Mattel brought back the Legends series and had Rob Schamberger do the artwork?
Oh, you're hitting all my senses, dude.
That could be an idea if they ever did like an online option and they did Legends series just as like an online only. Maddie Collector, there it is. If they did like an online only and they did just Legends where you get like, say, four offerings a year, but they had Schamberger do the artwork as they did with the Legends series that we just discussed. I think that would be awesome. That would
be fantastic. That would be a great idea.
Mattel, are you listening?
Maddie Collector.
Or call it what you will.
And that rounds out episode 194. Everyone, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or WhatAManeuver.net. Pick up any of our past t-shirts. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you are on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes. Next week, we will get to the iTunes review. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all, like Jason Linick or JT did tonight. Thank you, guys. To fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Also, please head on over to Smart Cups. Use that code FULLYPOSABLE20 to get 20% off your order for those delicious Smart Cups. Raspberry lemonade is my favorite. I love those ones. Those ones are definitely a nice little refresher. They release the B vitamins. They are for people that are on the go. If you're going to go lift weights, I would recommend Bang. But if you're on the go and you just need a little pick-me-up, Smart Cups is the way to go. Ryan, I want to thank you again over at Wrestling Toy Tracker. I want to thank you again because I was using you for info regarding the white shirt Hogan. So thank you very much. Check out Ryan at WrestlingToyTracker.com. Check out his website. They take the general averages of eBay sold listings and put it into a database and kind of filter it and average it to over 6 months. And so you can kind of see what the average price is, see if you're getting a fair market value on your purchase. If you're looking for WWE Mattel, Retros, Hasbros, LJNs, Galoobs, or anything else, so check out WrestlingToyTracker.com or Toy_Tracker on Twitter. Scott Eaglemoss.
Yeah, guys, if you're not subscribed yet, you heard Michael's interview earlier. Get on it. You'll get your statues shipped directly to you. You'll get the ring to display those statues in, or if you want to keep them in the package, they look great inside the package. The box is great. It has a clear plastic front. You can see the statue inside. You flip the box around. It's got a full color portrait of that guy and a book of that person as well. Definitely check them out on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. My favorite right now is the Finn Balor. Great detail on that statue, but definitely go give them a look on Twitter at @HeroCollector.
And Scott, I want to throw it back to the podcast buddies, Breaker and Bane. Obviously, those guys are fantastic. They do a show each week and it's very entertaining. They have a local wrestler come in, sit in, and kind of tell the backstory. I love hearing those. They also do wrestling news, general stories, like a WTF story. I forgot to tell you about that Florida couple, Scott. I'll tell you about that off the air.
Okay.
They talk about all that. So check out BreakerandBane.com. Check out Breaker Store on Pro Wrestling Tees also. Eric and Barry each week do two shows, one on Fig and Merch, and last week, Scott, they did one on WCW TV show from 1987. They talked about Rock and Roll Express. They were the first match. It was the show where they showed Ronnie Garvin winning the WCW or the NWA heavyweight title.
Ugh, what a travesty.
Do you remember the story to that one? This is one of my favorite stories.
As to why he won it, or?
Well, there's a little bit more to it. So you spent the night over at Big Dave's house. And so that Saturday, you did not get to watch NWA Saturday TV.
Oh, I hated when that happened. I would literally go nuts.
And I watched it, and I saw the video of Ronnie Garvin beating Ric Flair in the cage. And Mom and Dad and I went out to Walnut Creek to pick up you from Big Dave and Betty and Roger's house. And I said, dude, Ronnie Garvin won the NWA title from Ric Flair. You did not believe me.
Why would I?
You said, I will, you're lying. And I said, no, I watched it with my own eyes. Ronnie Garvin won the NWA title. You said, you are lying. I said, I will bet you. You said, okay, if you are wrong, you owe me a dollar. But if I am right, I will give you one penny. Currency was not my strong suit back then.
Yeah.
I won the bet, and sure enough, you paid up and gave me that one penny.
You're like, I could have had a dollar.
Right. I should have asked for a dollar. But the funny thing was, is when you found out, and I don't remember how you found out, but when you found out, you were like, what the hell? Why is Ronnie Garvin beating Ric Flair?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a Ronnie Garvin fan. I liked him. I thought Ronnie Garvin was cool, but to me, he was a mid-carder. Like, maybe he could win the U.S. Tag Team Championship with someone, and that would be believable. But the heavyweight title, that just, it blew me away. I didn't understand. It just blew me away that he did that. And then they let him rest until Starrcade or something crazy like that. Like, he didn't have to defend the title for 60 days or some garbage like that. I'm like, come on, are you serious? Like, he would still do interviews, but, like, they basically protected him so he didn't have to defend the title, and then Flair beat him in the cage for the title at Starrcade. But that was crazy. There was no reason to believe you when you told me that.
So the on-running commentary that they did on their show, while they because they synchronized their TVs and watched the matches, the on-running commentary from Barry was absolutely hilarious. Same with Eric. Those two were just having a ball with that one. So I highly recommend downloading last Friday's episode. Not this past Friday, but the Friday before, downloading that episode and listening to their on-running commentary. I thought that was fantastic. Eric and Barry, Doing the Favor podcast. Check them out on Twitter at Doing the Favor. Scott, you know who is someone that does not like Ronnie Garvin?
Somebody who doesn't like Ronnie Garvin?
Yes.
Man, there is such a person?
There is.
And that person's name is?
Steve from the PPW podcast. He is not a Ronnie Garvin fan.
Is there a personal reason behind this, or he just grew up and just despised Ronnie Garvin?
I think he just didn't like Ronnie Garvin.
Maybe he's a Greg Valentine or a Ric Flair fan, and that's the reason he doesn't like Ronnie Garvin.
Possibly, yeah. That could be. I don't know. I gotta text him and ask him.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a huge Flair fan back in the day, like, I hated Flair because he was a villain. I love him now, but I could see not liking Ronnie Garvin if you were a huge Flair fan, because that title change made no sense. And then they protected him for 2 months, didn't have to defend his title. Flair defended it like every week. So, okay, now I get the Ronnie Garvin hate.
So, very well could be, but anyways, he does not like Ronnie Garvin, but you can go check out their show. They just had one come out this past Monday that was on SummerSlam 1994. Okay, unpopular opinion. I did not like Bret Owen in the cage at SummerSlam 94. I thought that was a bad match.
Really?
I did not like that match.
Is it because family members got involved, or you just didn't like the chemistry between the two in that match? Like, what was the problem with it?
Match was too slow. I just didn't like it, dude. I thought it was a bad match. Their match at WrestleMania 10 was so much better.
Interesting. Okay. You're right. That is an unpopular opinion.
So anyways, go check out Steve and Eric over at the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast. I was repping their tank top at the gym today. Sun's out, buns out, Scott.
No, Jeff. Sun's out, guns out. You put your pants back on.
Oh, I'm not supposed to go bottomless at the gym?
No.
Like Donald Duck? No, I'm not supposed I'm not supposed to do that. Donald Duck got away with it.
Well, Donald Duck didn't have a little dangly thing hanging out. He had fur covering up his parts.
Each week, Marty and Sarah welcome in their buddies. So check them out at Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Jeff Palmacchio is doing Not Your Mama's Soap Opera podcast. And Jordan Cassatt is doing The Cassatt Show. Scott, roll call.
New shirt alert.
From us?
From us. There's going to be a new shirt. If it's not happening this week, it's going to happen next.
Ooh. I can't wait.
Yep. And I bet the listeners can't either, but be on alert. There is a new shirt dropping. And guess who did the artwork, Jeff?
Hired some second grader at an elementary school?
No, that's what WWE did for their new shirts. We went with Jason Wolf.
Well done. Nice improv. Go ahead.
Thank you. If you're not following him on Twitter, you need to be. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF if you need artwork. He is your guy. He just did Breaker and Bane's Halloween-inspired shirt. The Fig Life wife wants to pick one of those up and will be very soon, Jeff. He's been doing comic book type covers, and he did one that Twisted Sister, the great 80s band. I don't know anything past the 80s from Twisted Sister. I apologize. But Twisted Sister recognized his work on, I believe it was their Instagram. He did a Scooby-Doo inspired drawing of Twisted Sister, and his work was acknowledged by Twisted Sister, and I thought it was great. Steve Hoker, I believe, commissioned Jason to do the artwork, and they somehow got a hold of it and recognized Jason. And I love seeing Jason's work recognized by people in positions that can basically get him some recognition. And I think it's great. I'm happy for him. Much deserved. Again, if you're not following this guy, you need to be. If you need any type of artwork, Jason's your guy. Give him a follow on Twitter at Jason Wolf. And Jeff, this week I'm going to throw it out to the figure photographers. You made me throw out about, I think I did six of them last week. So let's hit you with three. Yeah, so let's hit you with three this week. First up, give Luke a follow on Twitter at @I_fought_A_lion. Next up, the Main Event League, and you can follow Main Event League on Twitter at Main Event League. Last, certainly not least, the great Ralphie Vibes, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a follow on Instagram at Elite Figure Vibes, and that's VYBZ. Not only does Ralphie do great figure photography, he's an awesome dude. So please go give him a follow on Instagram again at Elite Figure Vibes, VYBZ. And Jeff, that rounds out roll call.
I agree. Ralphie is a great dude. By the way, a few weeks back, or actually quite a few shows back, you asked me who has one of the best voices ever as far as music. And I guessed Sebastian Bach, and you said I was right.
You were right.
We were driving home from, I forget where Celeste and I were coming home from, but a Skid Row song came on the radio. And I was like, damn it, Scott is right, man. Sebastian Bach's voice was perfect for Skid Row.
It's iconic, dude.
It's one of those voices that, man, you hear it and you're just like, this is like melody. This is like music to my ears. No pun intended, but it was. His voice was awesome back in the day.
Oh, it was. And that was the funny thing is I actually asked you, Jeff, who was the best hair metal singer from the 80s. And you immediately said Sebastian Bach.
Right.
And you were 100% correct. He was, I mean, Skid Row, I loved Skid Row, but they weren't my favorite band. But he easily was my favorite singer from the 80s. The dude had some pipes, man, and he could belt it out.
Are we supposed to stay in our lane? Can't talk about music?
Yeah, you know, maybe we should do like an 80s glam hair metal podcast. Just one show and just cover all of it.
I'll get Big Dave to stand in for me because I was listening to Nelson and Anthrax at the time. Tale of both ends of the spectrum on that one, right?
You also listened to Slaughter. You know what? You're right. You're excused from that one. I'll grab Big Dave and we'll do a show.
Wait a second. I didn't listen to Slaughter.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I didn't listen to Slaughter, dude.
But you did listen to Nelson.
I did listen to Nelson. Yes, that is a fact.
Yeah, you're excused.
Don't you knock those twins.
Why not? Everybody else did.
Those great blonde flowing locks. Don't knock them, dude. They were great.
Yeah, all one album of them.
Okay, one album, yes. Hey, they made somewhat of a comeback.
Yeah, the Milli Vanilli of hair metal.
No, they sang. They sang.
Are we sure about that?
I was told that somebody saw them at the Alameda County Fair, and they said that they sang their songs great.
They actually did the Alameda County Fair? That's amazing.
I think Nathan went and saw them, dude.
Oh, God bless him. That's great. He actually went to see Nelson. Okay, was he passing through? Was he like getting a corn dog and he heard like After the Rain or something?
Something like that, dude. I think he was getting a deep fried Twinkie and he went over and he heard After the Rain and he was like, oh my God.
That's awesome. Oh, that's great. He watched him through a fence.
I'll have to clarify, was it a deep fried Twinkie or deep fried Oreo?
Bless his heart.
So Scott, for episode 194, anything else?
Fig Life since 2016, and happy toy hunting.
And again, I want to thank everybody for listening to 194. We've got some great stuff coming up for you guys. I know you guys are going to be excited. For Scott and I are excited for, so look forward to those. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.